20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packer fans? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am overjoyed right now because we are being joined by the wonderful Evan Williams, of course, your favorite safety in the Packers secondary. He's going to be joining us, obviously, to talk some Packers draft, his journey through the NFL draft. Evan, before we spoil anything too much more, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for being here. How are you doing, my man?
I'm doing great, man. It's a beautiful day outside. I'm good, man. I'm blessed to be here. Appreciate you for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate you joining. There's obviously so much going on from an NFL standpoint this time of year. Of course, the biggest is the NFL draft. It's being held in Green Bay. Let me just start there. Are you in Green Bay now? Or are you going to be in Green Bay for the draft? Are you avoiding the entire thing? What is your take on this entire situation that's going on in Green Bay currently?
No, yeah, I heard it's pretty crazy out there right now. I heard Lombardi Avenue is just full of everybody, you know, a lot of traffic out there, but I'm back home right now. I'm in California, but I fly out there tomorrow. And so I'll be there for, you know, draft week, getting some things done, you know, getting back acclimated to Green Bay. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, I love that. I hope you enjoy the heck out of it. Should be a really fun time in Green Bay with everything that's going on. There's so much that I want to ask you, but I think you bring obviously a really unique perspective in the fact that you just went through this entire process a year ago. It probably went in the blink of an eye is what I can imagine, but kind of walk us through that draft process in 2024, going from obviously ending your college career in Oregon and then being eligible for the draft. I'm sure doing everything in your power to get ready for the combine and the pro days and everything like that. And then going to the point of the draft itself, and I'm sure going and visiting a million places, the draft itself, what was that entire process like for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's fast, man. When you're in it, it seems like the world, you know, can't slow down. You know, you're going a million miles an hour. Yeah, you said it. You go straight out of college. And so now you're immediately thrown into the biggest job interview of your life. And so you're going to, you're going to try to go to an all-star game to, you know, show out and obviously put your best foot forward there. And then at the same time, you know, you're trying to juggle possibly going to, like, I went to Florida to train pre-combine. And so you're moving stuff out to get a spot there for a little bit. I trained in Florida for a little bit. And then, yeah, you got the combine. And so you really have no time off, you know, for the most part. And I probably had like the last 3 weeks before the draft, like to myself where I could kind of decompress. But, and then right after the draft, you know, you got maybe a week and, you know, you're in Green Bay, you know, you're right into rookie minicamp, you know, trying to get a touch on the playbook. So yeah, if there's one word to describe it for me, it was just fast, but it was, you know, a crazy experience. And I'm really thankful for, you know, my process and, you know, how it all worked out for me.
I can only imagine because, as soon as you're getting done with college and then having to go through all of that, I can only imagine the whirlwind that you're going through. Obviously, you go through all of that. You go through all the Senior Bowl and all the pro days, everything like that, the visits. And then you actually get to draft weekend itself. And what were your sort of expectations going into draft weekend? Do you ignore all of the scouting reports that are out there about you? Or do you ignore all of the, you know, all right, where might he go in the draft? Or is it somewhat intriguing and interesting? Or like, how did you kind of go about that process? And then as you got to day three of the draft and we're still on the board, kind of what did that kind of feel like and where you thought you might go?
Yeah, it's definitely trying to find a balance between, you know, it being too, you know, getting too caught up in all the noise, because, you know, you're going to hear it sooner or later, you know, it's going to, you know, present itself and you're going to see, you know, or you're going to look up your name or your name's going to come up on your feed and be like, oh, like, this is what they're saying about me, or you'll hear it from a family member. So there's no way you can completely shut it out. But yeah, that's something I typically like to do. Like, all respect due to, you know, all the work that scouts do, you know, all the film watching they do, but there's so much more to, you know, your profile than just a little bit that, you know, a scout might know about you. Like there's so much more that goes into it. Somebody might not be super successful at the college level, and then they come into the NFL and, you know, completely turn it around. So, you know, I was never one to really feed into much of the hype, you know, growing up. I was always overlooked, you know, through my process. So, you know, I did my utmost to kind of block out the noise. And, but from what I, you know, what I was expecting, I always like to, you know, expect the worst and then, you know, hopefully you get a better result. So, you know, I was thinking if it comes down to it, you know, like fifth, sixth round, you know, was my sweet spot is what my agent said. So I'm like, okay, getting ready for that. And yeah, so day three started. And so I'm kind of just anticipating taking my time, you know, getting maybe some calls from some teams, you know, trying to feel you out and see where your head's at. And literally the first call is Green Bay, and it's early in the fourth. So I'm not, you know, my pessimistic brain at the time, I'm getting ready to get going drafted. Yeah. And so it's Green Bay. And so I'm thinking it's just going to be a call there. They're checking up on me. And yeah, first words are, yeah, we're going to put you on with our GM Goody. I was like, oh, this is one of those calls.
Yeah.
And literally I just froze like in that moment. And it was so special to be, you know, with my family at the time, just surrounded by people you love, and, you know, hearing you're going to, you know, an organization like Green Bay, really life changing.
I have goosebumps of just you telling that story. That's so freaking cool. And then what, I don't know, maybe there's nothing, we don't have to make it sensationalized if it's not, but I would have to imagine, I have a son who's 11 and he's in soccer, and I couldn't even begin to fathom of like what it would be like if he eventually became, you know, any sort of, I mean, even like a, you know, a D1 college player would be amazing, right? I can't imagine. And the work and time and effort that he puts into 11-year-old soccer is, you know, insane just to do some of the stuff he does in 11-year-old soccer. I can't begin to fathom how much time, effort, energy, sweat, tears, travel, flying different places, getting different input, the stuff that I'm sure your family put into it as well. I can't, like, how much of that, when you hear you are going to be selected by the Green Bay Packers, you hear with the, I forget the number selection in the 2024 NFL draft, the Green Bay Packers select
Evan Williams,
111, safety out of Oregon. What does, there has to be some sort of out of body almost experience of, you know, of feeling that way, or what went through your mind when that happened?
Yeah, it's really just like in that moment, what I thought about was just, you know, all the people that believed in me, you know, all the people that really made it happen. And those were, you know, the people around me. Like my brother was one of the first people I looked at as I'm getting the call. I'm thinking it's going to be just a normal call, you know, nothing to be excited about. And I look over and they said that to, you know, that it's going to be, Goody. And I look over at Bennett and I'm like, oh, like, damn, this is the one. Like, and he's all, you know, jumping up excited. Then he talked and he tells my mom and, you know, she's over there crying and just kind of being able to understand how much they poured into you, you know, people like that, everything they did to, you know, just see that you got to chase your dreams, that you got to, you know, put your best foot forward in every situation. Yeah, it was a culmination of emotions for sure. I mean, it's almost too much to express at once, but yeah, it was just, it was you know, a moment I'll never forget. And getting to share that with the family was something like, you know, out of storybook.
That's amazing. So then you're selected by Green Bay. They trade up to get you. Right, how quickly do you start looking at, all right, they just signed Xavier McKinney. They drafted Javon Bullard in the second round. They draft Ketanji Oladapo in the fifth round. Zane Anderson still there. Like, how quick does like the roster math sort of come into the equation of like, all right, what happens at the position? And then obviously the bigger thing is you now have to turn around. And like you said earlier, you've got a rookie mini camp coming up, I think the following weekend, if I remember correctly, that you've got to get to immediately. I'm sure trying to get that playbook as quickly as you can. What's that immediate like next reaction of now that you know you're a Packer, now what's next?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you do all your research right after that, right? My mom is all looking up. Oh, they took, like, she knew they took Ketan like before I did, and I knew they took a Javon, you know, earlier in the second round. So I'm like, all right, like I'm great with some competition, like no problem with that. Then they got KT, and I was like, okay, we got a full room in here now. Like, okay, I'm going to have to be on my best behavior. And so, yeah, naturally you're going to, you know, as a competitor, you kind of just want to see where your odds stack up, you know, yep. In that room. But then, yeah, coming to Green Bay, it's just like, yeah, you're thrown into the fire, really. You know, you're around a bunch of guys, a bunch of rookies, you know, that are trying to figure it out too. And that was probably the best part about it, you know, having just a sense of community. You know, you got your guys with you, that guys that you could talk to and about their experiences, and kind of just go through it together. And yeah, I mean, that just really prepped you. That was before, you know, you meet the team and stuff, and then go through rookie minicamp. That's a couple weeks, 3 weeks. And then, yeah, bam, you're in a locker room with, you know, Josh Jacobs and Jordan Love and a bunch of guys that, you know, you look up to and respect, you know, throughout your football career. And it's a pretty cool experience.
I can only imagine. One of the things that immediately stood out to me, because obviously we get to go to the rookie mini camp. A couple of those practices are open to the quote unquote media, and we get to see them. And, you know, it's our sort of first impressions of the players. And then, you know, obviously we can try to report back as much as we can on that. But one of the things that really stood out immediately to me was you were out there immediately. Again, I can only imagine, you just got the playbook and you're out there, you're communicating. And again, I'm sure maybe some of it is fake it till you make it or whatever. I don't know what level you felt like you were at, but from the outsider's perspective, man, it looked like, I'm like, man, it looks like he's been out here for like 4 years playing safety for Green Bay, like communicating with other players of what they're going to do. I don't know what went into that. And again, I don't know how much of that was just like whatever it took to get to that point, but man, it certainly felt and looked like you took either a sort of leadership role or even already had an understanding of that playbook. How does that happen so quickly? And just again, as you're getting sort of a crash course into that Packers playbook.
Yeah, I would really just give all props to, you know, my coaches and my mentors, really. Like I say it, you know, over and over again, that I was thrown into one of the best situations in the NFL. Like I got to, you know, get molded into the type of player that, you know, you're learning from X, you're learning from Keyshawn, just people that like have been solidified in this business and have done it at an elite level for a long time. And then you get a coaching staff, you know, that is fresh. So they're kind of teaching everybody. You're all getting the information at the same time, which was really helpful. You know, you're not too far behind, you know, the older guys, because it's a generally new, you know, defensive staff coming in. And so, yeah, kind of being able to just to sit back and be a sponge. I've said it before, to those older guys, and just, you know, soak up all that information that, you know, these guys are pouring into you. And yeah, man, it's easy to communicate when you got, you know, some of the best in the league right by you, you know, helping you do it. So, yeah, just got to have a little confidence out there, you know, direct the defense. And, you know, typically when you're directing the defense, good things happen.
There were stories out there of Xavier McKinney having certain things ready for you, for the rookies, I should say, not just you in particular, but I'm sure probably you, Javon, Kitano Adapo, I'm sure some others as well, that he almost would have some notes for you before you went into the meeting with the coaching staff, or maybe it was just tips. Maybe that was taken out of context, who knows, but regardless, you know, what sort of advantages were there of learning some of the stuff from X as he came over from New York and was kind of the, I'm sure, immediate kind of leader in that secondary.
Yeah. Just, I loved how, you know, everything was sorted out. Like it was known that he was stepping into a leadership role, and he took that role and embraced the hell out of it. Like he stepped into it and understood what he had to do to what he had to do and what the team, like the defense, had to do to be elite. And, you know, he owned it. And so us coming into the role, I mean, me, I just get to come in and, you know, learn, just get to sit back and really, yeah, just be a sponge, you know, to all this information. And what he really taught me over everything, I would say, is just how to be a pro, you know, how to take care of your body. Because you see, it's not a surprise that, you know, he's doing what he does on Sundays, because his whole life is just, you know, you see the discipline and the habits that lead to that success. You know, when your film study habits are elite, your nutrition habits are elite, your recovery habits are elite, it's not a surprise that, you know, he goes out and, you know, nabs two picks on a Sunday, you know, afternoon. It's regular. And so, yeah, just really understanding how to maneuver like a pro and just how to, yeah, be a professional athlete and take care of your body as such. And yeah, I mean, that's the most important lesson that, you know, I could have ever learned. And, you know, he was the leader for that.
So obviously your first season comes and goes. I'm sure that also felt like a blink of an eye. How would you evaluate your first season in the NFL in totality? And what was that just experience like of going through your very first year in the NFL?
Yeah, it was awesome, man. I definitely wish I could be on the field a little bit more. You know, I wish I was a little more available. That's something, you know, I've definitely worked on this offseason is just, you know, your availability is, or your best ability is your availability, right? Especially in this league. So yeah, definitely trying to, you know, focus on those little things, get my body to a place where it can withstand an 18 game season and, you know, a playoff push as well. And so, yeah, I'm trying to take that next step, but really I'm just proud of the way, you know, that I handle myself. I feel like I put good play style on tape, put some, you know, physical things, some, you know, technical details. And I just feel like I'm proud of what I put on tape, but if I can, you know, string that out over a season of 18 games, you know, who knows what will happen.
Was there a moment for you that you felt like, all right, I got this? Like, I don't know, maybe you just never felt like it was too big for you anyway, but like, was there a moment where you're like, all right, I know this is the NFL, but like, I can hang here. I got this. No worries whatsoever.
I'm not going to say that. I never try to think that way. Like I have a supreme confidence when you're on the field, but yeah, you also totally. You know, at the same time, you're humble enough to accept that you're on the field with, you know, generational athletes, that these guys, you know, get paid a lot of money to do what they do too. And so, yeah, just kind of taking that and creating a balance between that. But I would say my first time I really felt like, okay, I belong here, was that Rams game. That was my first start, and being able to go out and just be at the point of attack as much as I was, you know, really just gave me an opportunity to, you know, showcase my skills and, you know, kind of just my play style. And it was probably like a quarter through the game. I got a couple hits in me, a couple good tackles. And I'm like, okay, I just feel like I was in the zone, right? Like flow state, I felt like that was the closest I've, you know, got to achieving that. And it really just felt great, you know, knowing that, you know, I'm in this moment and I belong with, you know, the best of them.
You mentioned flow state. Can you kind of, I'm assuming it means that you don't have to think out on the field anymore, that you're just reacting, playing fast, et cetera. But feel free to let me know if I'm an idiot and I'm wrong, but is that kind of what you're meaning there?
No, yeah, absolutely. It just felt like almost like you can't do any wrong. Like you understand your assignment so well that, you know, you go out on the field, you're not thinking about your assignment. You're just consumed by the game. And yeah, I felt like I was a step ahead, you know, to plays that, you know, I just saw them develop easier. I'm not too sure why, but it was my recovery the day before. I really don't know, but I knew I was getting the start, and yeah, definitely seized that opportunity for sure.
The vibes were good. That's awesome.
No, sure.
You played great. And no, it was an awesome first season. I know a lot of Packer fans, myself included, really excited to see what year two brings. I know usually most players have, you know, an aspect or two that they really want to work on in the off season. You mentioned already just getting your body ready for the full rigors of a full 18 plus game NFL season, 17 plus, hopefully playoffs. You know, what are those things that you want to work on this off season?
Yeah, I mean, definitely you work to become a more explosive athlete, right? Just so you're, you know, change the direction, your short range burst, you know, can try to be on a different level. And then I think, I mean, to go along with that, you got to work on your conditioning, right? It's something that nobody wants to do, but, you know, you come that first workout back always kicks your butt because, you know, it's a little different when it's football speed. So I just want to get to a point where, you know, I'm regardless of the time in the game, you know, regardless of how late it is, if we go into OT or where in the schedule it is, you know, where I'm just comfortable, you know, with my breath. I'm want to master my breathing for sure. And just be comfortable in all those situations. Cause I feel like when you're, you know, comfortable and clear headed, during those situations, that's when those, you know, you can seek out a really big play and make those big plays for your team.
I love that a ton. Obviously, the Packers defense this past year, which you were a big part of, took a big step in 2024 from where they were in 2023. What's next for this defense in 2025, and what do you guys want to accomplish this upcoming season?
Yeah, really, we just want to be, you know, acknowledged with the best. I feel like if we execute, communicate, which we are, you know, just getting a really good hold of, you know, I feel like we at the near the end of our season really started to, you know, master communication and be able to, you know, understand how to play off of each other. But man, I'm expecting big things, man. I want to be, you know, regarded as, you know, the best secondary in the NFL. And I think we got the pieces to do it. Like, I don't think there's a reason that, you know, we can't with, you know, X's talent and just the variety of talent in our room. You know, you got Bull making plays around the line of scrimmage. You got X, you got Key, you got Nate, who's, you know, just talked to him today, you know, had our first meetings and stuff. And so, I mean, I'm setting my sights high, you know, high expectations, because I think this group can do a lot.
A couple other quick ones before we get you out of here. I thank you so much for the time. This has been awesome already. There's a couple of players in this draft. It just so happens to be Oregon Ducks that I know a lot of Packer fans are intrigued by. Jordan Birch was somebody they had in for a top 30 visit this past couple of weeks. And then Derek Harmon, a potential first round guy that I know a lot of Packer fans want. What can you tell us maybe about those two players and what they would potentially bring to Green Bay?
Yeah, I didn't get to play with Derek, but I did. I was with Jordan for a little bit. And I mean, I could tell you that he's just, I mean, a freak athlete, you know, first and foremost. Right. And then he's also a guy that just, I feel like he has the right work ethic to where, you know, he's going to assert himself as, you know, a dominant figure wherever he goes. And so, yeah, I mean, I only got to just watch Derek's, you know, dominance in games this year. And, you know, he was a hell of a player for that defense. I mean, he essentially stopped, you know, inside run games single-handedly. And so, yeah, man, I'm excited for both those guys. You know, those are two guys that, you know, I'm definitely just really positive for their future. And I'm sure they're going to tear it up their first year in the league.
Sorry, I forget with all the crazy transfer protocol or portals now that people are switching between teams so much. Michigan State, obviously, was Harmon while you were there. But yeah, I figured still, obviously, that you've had some experience watching a few of those Oregon games over the past couple of seasons. Last thing before we get you out of here, something I always love to ask when I get this opportunity, just because it obviously has the ability to lift maybe some other players up. But we obviously know X, Josh Jacobs, Jordan Love. You can go in any direction that you want with this. And if you want to, you know, pass on it too, that's totally fine. But is there a player that maybe we don't know as much about, or that maybe has a big impact on this team that maybe just doesn't get the credit that they deserve that maybe we should be a little bit more aware of?
Yeah, man. I mean, there's a bunch of guys. I mean, first thing that comes to mind is like a guy like Quay, just a person that is, you know, in the heart of the defense, you know, controlling really everybody. And I feel like people don't give him enough credit, because, you know, he's given one of the hardest jobs in football. You know, he has to take on centers and guards and, you know, try to make them miss and then make a tackle in the middle of the field against, you know, great running backs. So it's, I mean, he's so pivotal for our defense. Like, he's such a pillar in there. His ability to, you know, drop in zone coverage and then in the same breath come up and fit the run aggressively. He's a guy that I got a lot of guys rally around. I'm trying to think of somebody else, like people like CV, I mean, even Bull. Like, I feel like Bull doesn't get enough credit just for, you know, the little things they do. Like, they're doing their job right every single play, and you only see it on the play that gets thrown their way, right? But these are guys that are just dominating, you know, receivers at the point of attack. And yeah, man, I mean, I can name our whole defense and offense, but those are a few that just pops in my head.
No, I appreciate that a ton. And now every NFL offense is trying to get that middle linebacker to do just one step wrong. Or, you know, like you said, they have so many different responsibilities in there. It is an impossible position, I feel like, to play in the NFL right now. And to your point, Quay is doing quite the job of that. So I appreciate that a ton. I know you are super busy, so I want to get you out of here. But before I do so, one, thank you so much for your time. Two, you know, anything that you want to plug on the way out, anything that you're working on, or I'll cede the floor to you.
Yeah, man. Got this event, a little fundraiser called Taste of the Draft coming up on Wednesday. So it's coming up. It's in Green Bay. Check it out if you can. We'll be talking to Charlie Behrens. He's a comedian, so that'll be a good time. And then also Ike Winter. I'm having a little collab with him. He's a wood artist. Check out his work on social media. He's crazy. So I'll be working with him coming up, and that'll be a good time too.
That sounds awesome, man. Well, best of luck with both of those things. Best of luck this upcoming season. I can't thank you enough for the time. Go out and crush it this year. We know that you will. You're welcome back on the show anytime that you want. But in the meantime, like I said, have a wonderful year, and we'll talk to you soon.
That's love, man. Appreciate you, man.
You bet. That's Evan Williams. Make sure to follow him. Check out those events. Of course, you can find us over on the Packaday Podcast at Packaday Podcast. You can find me at Andy Herman NFL. That's going to do it for us today. But until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go.